Hey, I won't bug you too much. There are a few ways you can support the Brad and Britt cast. One of them is to shop at our Amazon store. That's shop.bradandbritt.com. Many of you have been doing this, and we certainly appreciate it. Doesn't change the price of the stuff you're buying at shop.bradandbritt.com. You can donate via PayPal. That's at Brad and Britt. On Venmo, it's BBcast. And on Cash App, it's BDUB336, BDUB336. And another great way to support us is to give us a five-star review, whether it's on Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever, just give us a five-star review. That's easy.
Brad and Britt, Brad and Britt, the perfect combination of brawn and wit. Politics, sports, and trending shit. Let's tune into Brad and Britt.
Howdy and welcome along. This is the Brad and Britt cast, our final one for this week. And those of you who live your life around our schedule, you need to know that next Monday and Tuesday, you'll have to find something else to do with your
right. Life. That's right. Somehow, some way.
Right. We will not be putting these out on Monday and Tuesday. We'll do our first one of the week next week, Wednesday.
Okay? That's the one. That's it. That's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's what we're doing. All right. So, so I was at the doctor today. It was the annual checkup. And I like to talk to the medical people because, you know, you get to ask them, so what are the idiots saying to you? And you know what? They're more than willing. They're more than happy to share.
Is that how you phrased it?
But, you know, they all shake their heads and say, yeah. you know. And my doctor said that one person came in, they had a long discussion with, and they insisted that because they had COVID 6 months ago, that they don't need to get vaccinated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's not an uncommon thought, by the way. There's a lot of people that feel that way.
Well, okay. You know what? And I feel that if I hang around long enough, the hair will grow back on top of my head and I'll look like, the biggest movie star. It doesn't matter what you feel.
Yeah.
And of course, if you had it 6 months ago or whenever you had it, you should still get vaccinated because of course, and by the way, I think Dr. Gottlieb talked about this morning, on one of his many, many appearances on TV, because of course now augmented by the fact he's got a book to hawk, whatever natural immunity you may get from having recovered from COVID, irrespective of long-term effects and long-haul shit, but any kind of immunity that you build up because you had it, there's absolutely been no evidence that can be measured right now how long that is going to last. So therefore, you should get vaccinated. This is not an argument. This is not a discussion. This is not, I feel this way, I feel that way. You're just an idiot. And that's why today, for folks watching, I wrote a surplus of stupidity below where my name should normally be. The surplus of stupidity, of course, also applies to me, but it also applies to things that you hear out there, the myths and the rest of it. And you know, so that's where I'd like to start with my little marker here today. What else?
Well, did they give you any indication
though?
Did they give you any indication of the doctor's office that people were coming around, that there were less idiots, or that it's still there's still as much resistance and hesitancy as there used to be?
It's the same. She said very few people change their minds. Oh, it's very difficult. And I did ask, are you going to have the third shot for people like me? Because I'm a Pfizer person. I'm
right.
A Pfizer guy. And I got my second shot March 1st. Well, that's already now 6 months plus the number of days here in September. Okay. So I'm good. I'm eligible. I'm 65. And she said, this is kind of annoying, but it's not going to stop. She said, their doctor, and this is a big practice, you know, one of the famous names in Greensboro, Eagle Medicine, right?
Yeah, they're a big deal.
He says, they got supplies at their office twice during the pandemic, but it was just enough to vaccinate the staff and a few extra people, and they haven't gotten any more inside. So, in other words, it would be nice if, for instance, on a visit today, that not only could I get my flu shot, but I could get my second or third COVID shot, Johnson & Johnson second, Pfizer third shot. Soon it'll be Moderna third shot, but that's not. I'm probably going to have to, run over to a drugstore, things like that. And we'll just assume that the supply is now so ubiquitous out there that it won't be the kind of drama that we all had getting on the telephone or having three screens in front of us, punching refresh over and over again to get that first appointment.
Again, so, the nation is divided between people who are dying to get the third one and people who won't even get the first one. That is the division in America. Those are the two Americas.
Certainly one of them. It's certainly a big one.
You can't get around it.
New.
The president making the announcement yesterday that the United States will donate $500 million more COVID-19 vaccine doses to the world. We've already donated some, and I think it's going to be well over 1.1 billion that we've given to the world. As a lot of pressure is about, hey, why are you guys taking three when we haven't had one yet? So the president was announcing that yesterday. Half a billion doses.
So of course, it means nothing. It's not a zero-sum game. Every vaccination that occurs in the United States is not at the expense of anyone else in the world. It doesn't quite work that way. It's not a zero-sum game. And by the way, not to be a jerk about this, but certainly in the case of the Pfizer vaccine, I don't know whether this is true with the Moderna, but the Pfizer vaccine is the one that has to be 120 degrees below zero.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the fact is right now, you cannot have 120 degrees below zero conditions in enough equipment in Africa to vaccinate those people. So now you've knocked that out. That's a problem. It's not quite as simple as if we could just make 10 billion of them in short order, the whole world would be vaccinated. It just doesn't work that way. But on the other hand, I can see the argument, because the numbers are pretty striking, that the richer countries have eaten up, I believe, about 70% of all the vaccines that have ever been created in the last year versus 30% crumbs for the rest of the world. I understand that.
Crumbs for the rest of the world.
I get it.
I love that. That's
fantastic. And of course, that's not a good prospect for because we have to remember what we all were saying and knew more than a year ago ahead of the vaccine being rolled out, which was, when the vaccine rolls out, the most important thing is we have to get not just ourselves, but the whole world vaccinated, because if the world isn't safe, then we're not going to be safe. Because as we know, variations of the virus seem to somehow magically spread all over the world.
Yeah.
And if
allow me vaccinated, allow me the Fox News talk radio counterpoint to that. You ready? Fuck the rest of the world. Thank you and good night. I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, that'll help.
that's kind of it, isn't it?
That's very well, Tucker. That's very good, Tucker. Nice job, Tucker.
Was I succinct enough in expressing that one?
Yeah, you did boil it down. Very, very simply here.
Meanwhile, we talked about the president's low approval numbers, and things are not going so great right now based on a number of things. And now you can throw possible government shutdown in there. It looks like the White House is telling agencies to prepare for the first government shutdown of the pandemic. It doesn't look good right now. And this looks like this is going to be, despite intransigence by the Republican Party, this will be placed well upon the ownership of the Democratic Party, Brad, since they, as you point out, control the White House and the House of Representatives and, of course, the Senate. So there you go. That looks like that's going to be a fun time for all of us.
All right. What you just said is absolutely 100% wrong. This is not a Joe Biden shutdown. This is not a Democratic Party shutdown. This is a Republican Party shutdown 100%. And here's why.
All right.
Because you need 10 Republican votes right? Mm-hmm. You need to get this to 60 to get this passed. And they know it. Mitch McConnell knows it. Mitch McConnell voted over and over and over again when Donald Trump was the president to extend this debt limit, which, again, I know we have to re-explain the same things over again because it's easy to forget what this is all about. This is not about your credit card situation where you get a letter and they say, you know, your credit, which was $10,000 you could charge on the card. Well, we're extending the credit limit, the credit ceiling on your credit card, Mr. Krantz, to $15,000. Wow, a 50% increase. This is not that. This is not how it works. The credit of the United States goes to paying for things that were already in the pipeline, that already happened, that were already legislated during the Trump administration. Okay, right. Think of it. So, right? Think of it this way. You have to pay right now for shit that was run up in the past so that the government can continue to borrow for now and into the future. So this is all about Mitch McConnell being, I guess, Mitch McConnell, the biggest fucking piece of shit, hypocrite, asshole, cunt face ever in the history of this country. If he would endanger the credit score of the United States, right? Mm-hmm. Stop the government from functioning and make it just impossible for us to do business and stop Social Security checks from going to Americans and all the and crash the goddamn stock market. Oh yeah, that'll be Joe Biden's crash. Bullshit. They own this one, and don't for one second listen to anything that Republicans are saying about this. They're full of shit, okay? Because they were more than happy to increase the debt limit going out into the future so that Donald Trump's $2 trillion tax cut for rich people would not be endangered, okay? So they're full of shit. It is all the Republicans. It is because all 50 of them are saying, no, we're not going to vote to extend the debt limit. And it's just because this is the ultimate. You're good at explaining what the phrase own the libs means. This is an attempt to own the libs, but you're going to self-own yourself. You're going to fuck yourself up. You're going to fuck up your own constituents. You think that COVID is killing Republicans at a higher rate than Democrats, so they're going to have fewer voters sometime? Yes. This is worse than that. This is tomorrow.
Yeah.
This is next week.
Right.
This is right now. And can you name me one time when the government has shut down, and it's always because of the Republicans, right? Gingrich. He was the king of this shit, right?
Well, they always sort of get religion on spending money at some point. Oh, they always, like you said, they'll spend money after money after, they'll borrow money like crazy to give tax cuts to rich people. But then all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're spending too much money.
And you know what? And you see these people all the time, you know, from George Will and the rest of them, you know, the Republicans who never bought into Trump.
Yeah.
And then some guy on CNN or whatever happened to the Republicans, the classic Republicans we knew who were for fiscal restraint, who were for balancing the budget and things of that sort. And then the never Trumper will say, well, we just have to get back to that. If we could just purge our party of Trumpism. No, the party is Trumpism. They're all in on it now. The never Trumper, you know, the Lincoln Project people, you know, folks like that who left the Republican Party. No, I didn't leave the Republican Party. It left me. Oh, shut up. Come up with a new line besides that one, too. Okay. Right.
I think wasn't that Ronald Reagan that was originally put that out there and just seized on it for years?
I think you're 1,000% right. But remember, when he said it, first of all, his delivery, pretty good.
Right.
And second of all, since it was a new line, it probably got a good laugh.
Mm-hmm.
It probably got a good laugh. But that doesn't mean you get to repeat it everybody 40, else.
40 fucking years later.
Yes. You get to come on. Get some new writers. Get some new writers.
Well, isn't that the problem with the Republican parties? They really haven't had any new writers in five decades.
Well, they do have a new writer, the head writer, Donald Trump.
Oh,
that's the problem. That's your new writer.
He's just rehashing the old shit. He's doing it in like the worst way possible. That guy.
No.
So yes, so you don't believe the public in general is going to blame the Democrats for the government shutdown?
Nope, not at
all. Okay. I hope you're right about that.
There's not one Democrat who's going to say we shouldn't keep the government running. We shouldn't keep the Social Security checks flowing. We shouldn't keep the credit rating of the United States where it is. And I don't know whether it ever got bumped back up, because remember, it got dinged several years ago.
It did.
The last time this happened.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know whether it was like from A++ down to A or whatever it was. I don't know whether they ever brought it back up to the highest level. But, you know, no, do not let your heart be troubled. No, this is owned 100% by Mitch McConnell and the Republican Party. Okay.
I certainly hope you're
and
right.
Because remember, you know, and there is all this old video of Mitch McConnell lecturing against shutting down the government and saying he will vote because it would be crazy to do that. And so now, again, you're shrunk down to that group of people who cheer on every nihilistic attempt to destroy Democrats, win the moment, get the Fox News headline, all those kind of things.
Yeah, but they've been given those people have been given aid and comfort by Joe Manchin and Kirsten Sinema. I mean, those people are often like they'll be on board with a lot of those talks.
Yeah, but they're not against this one. They're all not right. for shutting down the government. Okay.
I hope that they're very vocal about that, because I feel like that's going to be the media narrative.
How vocal they are. No, this is
that's going to be the media. I think that's going to be the media narrative. That's going to be the media narrative. Is that
well,
the Democrats,
only if people like you fall for saying automatically that's the media narrative. It's not the media narrative. You're making that up, Britt. Where does it say that this is the Joe Biden government shutdown?
Again, it's not on a T-shirt. It's not on a bumper sticker, Brad, but it's just going to be in the zeitgeist and floating around. Then eventually they're going to ask people, whose fault was that thing last year? And they'll go, oh, it's the Democrats. It's like 6 months from now, some people will have gotten the idea. It's like just a few, like 20 years later, some people think the Iraquis attacked us on 9/11. Well, I don't know. Again, it wasn't on a T-shirt. It wasn't on a bumper sticker.
This is a special case. Nobody ever thought Barack Obama shut down the government. They didn't get pinned
on try to
Bill
say
Clinton.
That.
It was never pinned on Bill Clinton. Clinton shut down the government. That was Newt Gingrich. Everybody knows that. So don't let yourself fall into, you know, you're in one sense, you're giving up because you're just assuming that the Democrats always lose every messaging battle every time, even when the evidence is 99.99%. in their favor, that they can't win anything. So why don't we just turn it over? Let's just put Trump back in the presidency because he's going to get it anyway, right?
Somebody has pointed out, one member of this podcast, time and time again, Republicans are better at this bullshit than Democrats are.
They're better, but they're not perfect, and they don't win every time.
No, they don't.
They don't win every time. They're
and
not
speaking
perfect.
Speaking of not winning every time, I tried to get the whole thing in here, but I can't because this has been deleted. This is Kayleigh McEnany. And she's putting out, trying to illustrate the U.S. murder rate under Joe Biden. If you're watching us live, that one long line there at the end, that's what she was trying to highlight.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, that was during 2020. Brad, who was the president during 2020?
The twice impeached Palm Beach resident.
Her boss. Her boss was the guy who was, and so she's had to delete that tweet because of the point of her making it, we are in the greatest.
I see she published a bar chart from the New York Times.
Right.
And of course, we don't know what the murder rate for 2021 is ultimately going to be. They haven't tabulated that up yet.
And the year's
I'm actually
not over
surprised
yet.
They've got 2020 in the can already, because you know how a lot of these, it's you know, it's 3 or 4 years behind.
Exactly.
But obviously in 2020 was a bad year. And I know how she did that. I mean, I can understand, because how many times I've done this before where you see something and you immediately want to just jam it up there because it upholds your point of view.
Right.
And like in the case of Facebook, you know, when you delete something, I don't think anybody can find it later on. Facebook is a better deleting thing than Twitter.
Unless somebody screen caps it or whatever.
Right.
Sure, that's the problem.
Right. But that's why she put it up there. But That's funny. That's good stuff. That's good quality material.
She immediately had to delete that because she then figured out, oh, yeah, because like a million people were telling her, you know, you're putting up your bosses last year. That was the real problem. That's the really big, long line that you're trying to put out there.
Yeah. All right. Biden is leaning towards putting out information to Congress about what Trump and his aides were doing
right
during the attack.
Right.
And of course, Trump is claiming executive privilege. He's saying, no way. Biden's White House plans to err on the side of disclosure given the gravity of the events of January 6th, the tourist visit gone wrong.
With no guns at all.
Biden spokesperson Mike Gwynn said the president views the attack on the Capitol as a dark stain on our country's history. And is deeply committed to ensuring that something like that can never happen again. He supports a thorough investigation. Can Trump use executive privilege? Answer. The committee says because Trump's no longer in the White House and doesn't enjoy executive privilege, that all bets are off, as if Donald Trump believes that executive privilege extends forever. Yeah, you know, right. It's like getting the coronavirus. I'm immune forever. I've got coronavirus immunity for the rest of my life. No, you don't. It ends.
It's like the thing with you can't slander a dead person, because the idea behind your reputation is you have to go out in the streets, try to make a living and be in your community and stuff. Once you're dead, you're not doing any of that. And again, as far as executive privilege, if you start putting documents out there, well, Donald Trump is no longer governing us. He wasn't governing us when he was governing us. So this is not going to inhibit his ability to govern us and get great advice like he used to get from people if they leaked it, if they put this stuff out there.
And I'm trying to think of the Nixon analogy here, because Nixon tried to claim executive privilege to block the tapes from ever seeing the light of day. And the courts ruled against him. He had offered to just put out transcripts. And
exactly.
They said, well, that's not quite good enough. And of course, the transcripts were damning enough. And then later on, we did hear the tapes. But if Nixon had been able to invoke successfully executive privilege while he was president.
Correct.
I can't imagine that after he left office, okay, without resigning, if he had finished out his term or whatever, it was his second term, so he would have been done then, that he would have been perpetuity. Yeah. Kept us from hearing or seeing the transcripts of what was on those White House tapes. Because that is, to me, that's the most famous example of executive privilege being invoked, you know, ever. And this doesn't even come close to that.
No.
Because it didn't whatever Trump was doing, we haven't been able to nail it down. He got impeached for it even afterwards, and they couldn't nail it down then. And to think that, now a year later or so, that he's still able to cover up his role and not have to have it go before the committee, you know, the committee that the Republicans didn't want to exist in the first place and then pretended that they did and then bitched and whined because Liz Cheney and Adam Kissinger are on it. You know, that committee, that they're going to pre-trash whatever results come out. That one, that's the committee, remember? Remember, that's 5,000 news cycles ago that we started, you know, seeing that committee starting to meet. They don't meet all that often, as you know. There haven't been any more televised hearings of what they're doing. But this, obviously, is the kind of thing that would, light up the room here, in a sense, to start to get the actual role of Donald Trump with conversations and things that were said between him and his henchmen. Can we call him a henchman now? Is that a good word for that?
A bunch of thugs down here, Dan. The argument always is that if we release this stuff and when the president is still in office, then the president, the people who are trying to advise him, he won't get the great advice that he gets from advisors and consultants and folks like that, which, by the way, Donald Trump got some tremendous advice. There's no question about that. But again, he's no longer the guy in charge. So it doesn't matter if anybody comes up to him and says boo to him. It doesn't matter now because he can't do anything with it other than try to foment another insurrection.
This doesn't have anything to do with anything except if you're the other people on the other end of these conversations that Trump supposedly is claiming executive privilege for. And some of these people are out there hiding, or they're trying to rehabilitate their reputations or get other jobs, or things of that sort. It's the old question, if you didn't do anything wrong, you shouldn't have anything to worry about. So if all these other people are out there, supposedly the beneficiaries of Trump's now mythical past the deadline of him being president executive privilege, shouldn't they want the truth out there so that their reputations could be forever cleaned up, cleansed of all suspicion, right? And of course, I know what I said isn't really true, because, you know, they don't want what they said to Trump and the sick advice they gave to Trump out there anymore. But maybe there are some who did tell him, Trump, you can't, you got to get out there. You got to stop this right now. Wouldn't you want that out there?
I would hope so.
Wouldn't you want that out there if you were one of those people? I don't know who they would be. I mean, you know, Trump is trying to take a shit right now all over Mike Lee of Utah and Lindsey Graham, because, mm-hmm. You know, it's exactly what we've all known forever about Trump. He's about as loyal as the next penny in your pocket. And, you know, as soon as the penny is, you're gone. It's done. It's spent. It's over. He has none. And it's only about him. And it's the same discussion over and over and over again. But there's Lindsey Graham, a guy who, you know, that guy's got more waffles in his shoes than anybody. He's gone back and forth, back and forth.
But it doesn't matter. He'll come crawling back to Trump every single time.
I guess
time.
So. I you know what? I would, if I was a normal person, say, come on, Britt, not this time. This is the time Lindsey Graham finally decides separation is a, and I wouldn't say that, because I don't even think that's true.
No,
I don't even think that's true. But again, a normal person would do that. They would say, I'm done with you, fuckface. I hope you rot in hell. You know, that's what a normal person would do. So
he would. I think if Donald Trump said Dabo Swinney ain't shit and Clemson sucks, maybe that would be the end of Lindsey Graham's relationship. That would be it. Anything short of that. But that's, there's the headline. Donald Trump says that Mike Lee, one of his biggest allies, should be ashamed for not backing his claims of election fraud. I'll remind everybody that the president's, former President Trump's claims of election fraud extend all the way back to 2016, in which he claims not only did he win the popular vote, that Hillary Clinton defrauded America by trucking in thousands of illegals, right, to vote at different places across America. So this is not unusual. He's never been a part of a fair election, Brad, even when he won.
No, I assume when he actually had something to do with the buildings that have his name on it, that he could run for president of the condo board if he lived in there. Maybe could win that in a fair way. But other than that, I don't think he's ever been part of an election that was decided fairly. That's the funny part, because, you know, the benefit of time to look back on some of these things makes them even look more silly, because it's going to say in the history books that Donald Trump, who won the election in 2016, claimed voter fraud. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now just isolate that for a second, because, you know, in the history of the country, a lot of elections have been contested, but they're always contested. I can guarantee you, always contested only by the loser. The winner never says there was fraud in me getting elected. But Trump has, again, he has set a new standard by saying, I won, but there was fraud, and I didn't win by the margin that I should have won. Okay. I mean, it's almost as if he's a basketball player who's on the take. Okay. And he's supposed to win the game by X number of points, or lose the game by X number of points. And because of the way the game turned out, they didn't cover the point spread or something. And so even though, you know, he won the game, technically he lost because of the point spread. So he complains forever. So in the locker room, he's the winning guy. He's the winning pitcher. He's the winning guard on the team. His team won, and he's bitching about the final score. Why are you bitching about the final score? I can't tell you why, but I just know it should have been bigger. I know it should have been bigger. Can we go back and look at the count at that baseball game? Was it really 7-4? No, it was 8-4. They won't tell you that. I mean, that's how crazy this is.
It is. It is nuts.
And it will follow him forever, which he doesn't care because he'll be dead.
And I feel that there are some people that are a little frustrated on the Democratic side that are upset. Like, why doesn't Biden just put the stuff out there? Why does he put out this January 6th information? Well, he's a little more judicious, and he wants to make sure everything's in order and everything is legal for him to put that stuff out there. But it's not like, I mean, if anybody thinks that Joe Biden is covering for Donald Trump by not releasing that information, I mean, that's a little conspiratorial, isn't it?
Wait, can I take your role here for just a second?
Yeah, if you would.
The
yeah.
Stupid Fox News retort to
please.
That. Ready? He's just put that out there as a distraction from all right. these problems. Well, he just doesn't want you to think about anything else except Trump.
Speaking of problems that are going to be hard to distract from, a senior U.S. diplomat to Haiti resigns, citing the Biden administration's inhumane deportation policy. So this guy has submitted his letter of resignation. It's public now to the Secretary of State. He says that taking those Haitian immigrants and putting them back, and some of them haven't been in Haiti for some time, is inhumane. He can no longer continue in his role. This continues to be a bit of a black eye on the Biden administration as we talk about the general malaise that's going on right now. You know, it's an ugly situation. I don't know. Again, this is one of those things just like pulling people out of Afghanistan. There must have been a better way, but nobody seems to be able to suggest right. what that better right. way is.
Right. And I differ with your initial language. It's a bit of a problem. It's more than a bit of a problem.
It's a sticky wicket is what it is.
It's several bits of a problem. And of course, here in the world of podcasts, we can talk about this dispassionately and rationally. And we can bring up the fact that, you know, we haven't had a decent immigration policy or a solution in place for decades. And we talk about it, but you know what? That means nothing, because as you know, all that matters is what video is out there to be able to slam your opponent. And the video of those guys on the horses playing rodeo with Haitian immigrants, that there's nothing to say. You can't talk your way out of that. That's a killer. That's brutal. And yeah, if we're sending people back to Haiti who haven't been in Haiti for 10 years, some of them, I think many of them went to South America after
Correct,
an
yeah.
earthquake there years ago and settled there. But the question hasn't officially truly been answered, and I don't know whether it ever will be, is that how did almost instantly 10 to 15,000 people mass on the border at Del Rio, Texas? It seemed almost overnight. How did that happen? And I mean, the quick answer is, well, they're all on social media and they told them to come there that way. I mean, that's easy. That's it. And just because you see something doesn't mean you automatically do it.
Exactly.
So I don't know how that happened that way. And we need to know how, because if not, I guess it's going to keep happening over and over and over again. But to send Haitian immigrants, no matter what their status is, back to a country that they barely know or left 10 years ago, that is the equivalent of the Trump administration putting people back on airplanes and things of that sort and sending them back to a country, or, you know, making the dreamers leave the United States. They were
right.
born here, or they were brought here at the age of 2 months. They're 23 years old, and you're going to send them, quote, back to
no connection
to
at all.
They don't know Mexico. They don't know Mexico any more than you or I do.
Exactly.
So this is the same thing. So you have that problem. And as a result, you have a lot of members in Biden's party, the Democrats, pounding him the same way that they would pound Trump. And so that's not only not a good look, I mean, that's fatal. And the reason that it's fatal is because if you want to come up with a quick way to depress Democratic core voter turnout, And remember what Democratic core voter turnout is. It's black people. It's Hispanics. Okay. And then when you add in the ring suburbs of Raleigh and Milwaukee and Atlanta, you get a Democratic win. But if you undercut that with the bad immigration policy, the bad execution of it, mm-hmm. and reminiscence of people being able to say, boy, it really wasn't that bad under Trump, was it? If there's any space for that, it's deep trouble. And there's no way to talk your way out of it. There's no way to buy enough Spanish language media to say there just isn't enough. So, you know, they got to get on it. They got to get on it fast. And I don't have a snappy answer to an impossible question. I wish I did, but I don't.
But doesn't this put a little bit of a dent into the Tucker Carlson Fox News replacement theory? As far as if you send these folks back to Haiti instead of opening up the borders to replace white people,
Britt, doesn't they're that not go sending against? All of them back?
See, that's, I know, but they're sending a good.
But no, the total I believe I saw is they've sent 1,000 people back. Well, 1,000 out of 15,000 isn't
that's
a lot.
Not much.
And again, that gets superseded by the other news, the other headline, which is many of them are being released into the United States and told to come back to court in 60 days. We'll see you then. And we know what that opens up when you say, please come back in 60 days, as if they all are going to do that.
Right.
And that they all have legitimate relatives in Philadelphia.
I'm busy. I can't make it back.
You know, so, you know, that's catch and release kind of shit. Okay. And you know, that's the pejorative term for it. And honest to God, I don't have an answer. I do not have an answer, except that, you know, if America sucks so bad, why do so many people want to come here? I mean, which doesn't help anything.
Well, I think it sucks that slightly less than Haiti. I think you could probably say we're better those people.
Yeah, great. We're better than Haiti. I'd rather be here than Haiti.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not.
They print those T-shirts up right away. That's another one we can make a lot of money off of.
It's not the highest bar, but you know what's going on. I know you've had some fun with this one. You've seen some of the headlines. This guy's back. Paul LePage, who was Trump before Trump was Trump, he held a kickoff event. He is running for governor again. He looks like he's dead in the water. This guy is, if you thought Trump was an asshole, this guy's a complete asshole as well. Yeah. As he runs for governor of Maine.
These are fun headlines, but that guy's not getting elected to anything. Okay.
You think he's just dead? He's just going to throw chum in the water?
Like this are dead. And you know who lost, was it last week or the week before?
Yeah.
For the last time in his life, he's a perennial candidate for everything, is Dennis Kucinich.
Yeah.
Dennis Kucinich, I believe, is about 77, 78 years old. He still looks fit. He's fine. Mm-hmm. And I think he was trying to run again for mayor of Cleveland.
Right.
Okay. And of course he was the youngest mayor of Cleveland in his 20s, many, many years ago, back not much after the time that I lived in Cleveland, and I was 10 and 12 at the time. That's how long ago this was. Okay. So he's been back and forth, and he didn't make it through the primary at all. And, you know, that's really kind of it for him. But he was an interesting congressman. He was a far lefty congressman, but he was a sincere thinking far lefty congressman.
And he also ran for president.
He also ran for president a couple times and mm-hmm. you know, obviously didn't make it. But I give him credit for having a long career doing different things. And he never did give up. I think this is kind of the end of the line. Yeah, there.
That's from a week ago. That's WKYC in Cleveland.
Right. He finished third in the primary, I'd rather think about Dennis Kucinich at the end of the line than Paul fucking LePage. Okay.
Well, isn't that the problem? Is it like, well, yeah, the Democrats have their crazies like Dennis Kucinich, and then
not even close, though.
Have their crazies. I know.
That is the problem. That Kucinich is not even close to being the loon face that Paul LePage was up there in Maine. I can't even remember all the dopey headlines that he generated. for the few years that he was in. But God,
I know that he tried to body slam like a reporter sometimes. That was one of the things that he did, and he would just get in people's faces about all kind of shit. And it was really I'm gonna pull up the story so I can get in specific about what an asshole he was. Because you think of Maine's such a nice place full of nice people. He joyfully mused about bombing newspaper offices and shooting rivals, cartoonists and lawmakers.
If it's so nice in Maine, how does Stephen King get all of his ideas? It must be from observing people in Maine where he is. Or I don't think he's there anymore, but he grew
he's
up.
He's a weirdo. Right? Yeah. He celebrated MLK Day by telling the NAACP to kiss his butt. He rushed up to a television crew at the State House to volunteer that a state senator liked to give it to people without providing Vaseline. And he left an unhinged, obscenity-filled message for a Democratic legislator, which said he wanted to record it and release because I am after you. This is some of the resume of Paul LePage as he tries to again be the governor of the great state of Maine, which is, I think its slogan is Canada's little buddy. I think that's the actual slogan. Oh,
I'm sure they like that. All right. One last thing here. MWWS, as opposed to WMMS, speaking of Cleveland, MWWS is missing white woman syndrome.
Oh, boy.
Okay? Now, I think we should give ourselves some cookies because we started talking about this on Monday, right?
Yeah.
It was the first thing we were talking about on the first podcast of the week because, you know, we'd seen all weekend long the exhaustive coverage of the death of Gabriel Petito. We now know it's a death. We didn't know for sure it was a death. They hadn't found a body yet on Monday, but you know we knew it was going to happen.
Sure.
That there was exhaustive coverage. And it even has its own Wikipedia entry. I didn't know that.
Indeed it does, yes.
Right. Apparently, Gwen Ifill came up with this line. It was kind of a throwaway line for her many, many years ago. She said it in 2004 at a big journalists of color convention called the Unity Convention. And she threw it out there. And I think it even got a laugh at that point. And I think you can analyze this from now till the moon falls out of the sky as to why this case in particular and JonBenet Ramsey and you know white cute blonde that's your key right there. That's what we said on Monday, and it was kind of obnoxious that we said it, but you know what, not only was it true, I think it's even more true now. And an argument that this is just an isolated, first of all, you add that in with the fact that these two, Gabrielle and this guy who laundry face,
laundry face. That was a big hit for Lady Gaga. I love that song. Such a good song.
Yeah, yeah. Now wasn't laundry face the guy with the chainsaws?
He was the guy in those movies. He just kind of danced laundry around with face. The chainsaw. It was weird.
Yeah, laundry face. The fact that they had hundreds of thousands of people following them, and they had put their entire trip up on, I guess, was it Facebook, I guess, that they put it up there?
It's just on social. I don't know if it was on, it might have been on media, TikTok. Yeah. It might have been on Instagram.
They had a built-in fan base of people. And this always goes back to the problem that Facebook in particular is trying to pretend didn't exist, even though they knew it did. And now it's been revealed that they did know that this causes a lot of people to go, my life sucks. Look how great their life is. That's in shorthand. So they were living this great life. They were free and easy in a van, and it's we're outdoors, and it's the West, and the weather's beautiful, and they're in love, and she's hot as shit, and they're gonna get married, and it's wonderful. And just look at her in that blouse. And have I made myself clear enough here? So this became impossible to ignore.
Yeah.
And it also, if you can just pretend that this is not nonfiction, it would make a great fictional story.
Well, yeah, you're seeing a Lifetime movie in real time.
Yes.
You're seeing like a story, like if there was a writer's meeting for our Lifetime movie of the week, we're now doing it in real time.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, I feel terrible for the family. I mean, this is an awful way for anybody to die. And this woman should not have died this way. And the fact that this guy is in the wind and they can't find him, I mean, that all of that is dreadful. But the way that it's being covered is what we're primarily talking about here.
Well, I guess it's the it's the volume of the coverage, the repetition of the coverage. Yeah. To me, this bothers me the most. The continued use of the video accompanying the story over and over and over again, because you know what? That's just porn. At this point,
You're right.
They're porning it.
There's a puerile gratification thing, and I call these stories hand wringers. These are just hand wringers.
Yeah.
It's not going to affect your life. It's not something that you can use in your life, per se. Maybe there is a lesson here about domestic violence and stuff like that. Well, there might be something there.
No doubt about it. And the way the cops handled it,
because
you know, we've got that video there, you can certainly question that. And they always seem to let the guy.
Well, she, from what I understand, though,
plays it cool, you know,
from what I understand also, she was not necessarily, she was like, oh no, nothing. And there was no visible marks on her or anything like that. So that needs to be part of the story too, as far as domestic violence. You know, again, it's a Lifetime movie of the week. And then now Nancy Grace is parading herself all over the place. And that's, you know, always a super fun time for everyone. So yeah, all of that becomes so, it's so banal.
As far as the whiteness being critical here, I would contend if she was a very, very attractive black woman,
mm-hmm.
I think the coverage would be, for the most part, equal. But she'd have to be attractive. She couldn't be extremely overweight and look like you know, she works in a convenience store all week long and has no money, and which by the way would not have her out driving around the country with her boyfriend, which brings me to a case that I was able to quickly find. Okay. It's about a woman in New York. It got coverage in the New York area, big coverage. She ended up dead in the trunk of a car, I believe in October or November, and they finally found her. The boyfriend somehow has not been seen. They can't find him. Now, that's sort of equivalent to this story. It's sort of.
Mm-hmm.
So why? Why the difference in coverage? And the answer is because these two hadn't put their lives up on video for everybody to follow them along. This is the most horrible thing I'll ever say. This is just another murder in New York where someone's body is found in the trunk of a car.
Yeah, it's not one of those.
I know.
Nothing exciting about that.
Now, then, I was listening to our friend Michael Smirkanish talk about this, and I you know, he's usually pretty on point. I can't believe that he didn't get corrected when he said this later on, but he was trying to make the case that, well, wait a minute. George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, those were huge. Those were the biggest stories in the world. And wait a minute. Hold the phone here. There's a big difference.
Yeah.
Those were police misconduct stories.
Mm. Yeah.
Those weren't that another black person died, because if another black person had just died at the hands of another black person, it wouldn't be the George Floyd story.
There's no coverage, right?
It was. So you cannot make that case at all, but because we've had a lot of coverage going back to Ferguson, Missouri, of black people dying, and it's a cause celeb, and we have people in the street. That's not equivalent to, this is different. This Absolutely. Is different. There aren't going to be any protests associated with what happened here. This is just about prurient interest. I would, however, come from the other direction and say, you know what? The police have gotten a lot of clues from all these weird people out there whose lives are apparently not very full, and they spend their time trying to solve crimes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, they've done a documentary about this. It stars Steve Martin and Martin Short. Okay. Murder in the Building. Check it out.
It's on Hulu right now.
Pretty funny.
Pretty funny.
All right. So if you zip past the beginning or you missed and you've been listening all the way to the end, we will not be here on Monday and Tuesday, because Britt has been called to Washington.
That's
He's
exactly
been interviewed
right.
for a cabinet post. That gig, being the
that Haitian guy.
That
I'm gonna replace the Haitian guy. Obviously, I was the natural choice.